Kumlen Lablak the Murder, we were up to Daf Yud Aleph, Amid Aleph. And basically we had an argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda says you cannot search for chametz on Pesach, scared you might come to eat it. The Chachamim are not worried. We asked the contradiction by the Isser of Chodesh, that you're not allowed to eat a new crop, nor can you. Yet we allowed you to harvest before that. And when Rabbi Yehuda says we're not worried. Excuse me, if you have not worried, you might come to eat from it. Which is exactly the opposite you hold by chametz. So we explain, as Abaye explained, that by chodesh, people are just generally separated from it. We're not worried you can eat from it, so therefore you're allowed to harvest it prior to the second day of Pesach. But when it comes to chametz, like bodl meneh, you're not separated from it, and therefore it's very possible that you will forget and you'll eat from it. With the Chachamim, it's exactly the opposite. They hold by chametz, we're not worried, because you're out there to destroy the chametz. Why in the world would we think that you might eat from it? But when it comes to Chodesh, we are worried that you might forget and you will eat from it. And we'll ask a few other questions to see whether they're consistent with their views that we're making Xeris or not. We are up to... excuse me. We're up to about 22 lines on the top of the page, and the last word of the line is Yehuda. Excuse me. Says the Gemara, you're telling me whenever you're not really separated from it, in other words, you're sort of so used to it. Are you telling me, Migaza Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda's Gezer? And that's why you're telling me. By chametz, he was so worried. Let me ask a question. What's not? We learned in a Mishnah, LeYakov, Adam Shveifede, LeYakov Adam Shveifede is Shalbeya. A person should not puncture hollow out an egg and place it next to a candle. V'yemalenu shemen, fill it up with oil. V'yitnenu b'tzad an head, and place it next to the candle. Excuse me, 1 second. All right, sorry. You're not allowed to fill up an egg with oil and place it next to a candle. Bishvil shetei minat tefes. You want it to drip. You want it to puncture. You want it to continue to drip into the candle. Rashi says that whenever it says in Shas the word neid, it doesn't mean the candle. It means the candle holder. You want it to drip into there. What's wrong? You did it on Friday. We're worried that on Shabbos you might scoop out some of the oil. And when you scoop out some of the oil, you're going to cause the candle to extinguish prematurely because it's set aside to continue burning the entire Shabbos. So we are worried. Even if it's made out of clay, so it's not so appetizing to use that oil, nevertheless, there's a concern. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no problem, we're not worried. All the time you use oil, why isn't Rabbi Yehuda Gezer that you might forget? You're not separated from it. Says the Gemara, over there, if you extinguish the fire on Shabbos, you'll get skila if you're warned. So therefore, and Michal Shabbos, Kravid Avoid Zorah. Shabbos is so strict, and therefore we're not worried you're going to tamper with the oil. But chametz, even though you get kares, if you eat it, but there's no capital punishment down here. And you're not treated like Eved Avodah Zarah, and therefore, by chametz, he is worried, but by Shabbos, he's not. Okay, now we'll ask a contradiction within Shabbos itself. The Rami, the Shabbos, the Shabbos. We'll ask a contradiction from Shabbos and Shabbos itself. He just told me that Yehuda is worried about Shabbos. Sorry, he's not worried about Shabbos because of the Chumrah of Shabbos. Let me ask you a question. I apologize. I don't know what's going on there. But anyway, sorry, I got something stuck in my throat. Rami the Shabbos, Shabbos, a contradiction of Shabbos and Shabbos. The Tanya, we'll let the Braisa chevel the lead, the rope of a bucket. Shenifsek. The rope of a bucket. That ripped open, let's say the rope tore. Lo yehe kosher, you're not allowed to knot it back on Shabbos. Remember, you learned you're not allowed to make a permanent knot on Shabbos. So you cannot make a knot on Shabbos to fix that rope. But what you could do is oinvoy, make a bow. A bow is not permanent, for it unravels. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rabbi Yehuda says you cannot even make a bow as well. And the Gemara thinks right now the reason why you cannot make a bow is because if we allow you to make a bow, next time you make a proper knot, which is asim ha-tayra. But Rabbi Yehuda on Shabbos does make zeris. Gemara says, instead, Rabbi Yehuda says, what you should do is, koyduch lovitai, round it, punda, some kind of a belt, a psikya or like a garter belt, you just wrap it around it, it will eventually have it. But don't you make a bow? Here Rabbi Yehuda says, we are goyz, if we allow you to make a bow, you make a knot. And before we said, by the oil, we're not worried. And kasha Rabban, we're worried. By oil, the Rabban, what do you call, we're worried about the oil. And they're not worried about here, by making a bow, what's the difference? The Rabban, kasha shem, b'shem michlif. Oil is exactly the same oil you use all the time, so therefore people will forget, and therefore they might take from the oil from there that's inside that egg. If we tell them you can make a bow, nobody's going to say, oh, I'm allowed to make a bow, I'm allowed to make a knot. People understand there's a difference between a bow and a knot. So we're not worried. How are we going to recognize Rabbi Yehuda? Shabbos, matters of Shabbos, he doesn't worry. So how come, in the case of the bow, he is? Time Rabbi Yehuda, you misunderstood. Not because he's making a gzeda bow, next time you'll knot it. He holds that the bow itself, that is a knot. We ask a question, Rabban. In other words, he holds that Mahatoidi, you're not allowed to make a bow either. It has a certain level of permanence to it. And that's why, not because of Gzeira de Rabbanon. Okay, we'll ask another question, Rabbi de Rabbanon. We're going to ask a question from the Rabbanon to Rabbanon regarding Shabbos. Now we learn, Koyishrin Dli Bipsikya, you're allowed to tie a bucket with a psikya with his garter belt, Avaloi Bechevel, not ordinary rope. We don't want ordinary rope. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Matir. Rabbi Yehuda says, no problem. You're allowed to tie with ordinary rope. Now, what do you mean tie? We're talking about rope. Ordinary rope. Rabbi Yehuda, Matir. How could Rabbi Yehuda allow you to tie to fix up the bucket using a rope? Kesha shel kayomi, making a knot. Everyone knows you don't make a knot, Mahatayda. Especially Rabbi Yehuda holds you don't even make a bow. The Vadei Ozel Tuli, you're definitely going to leave it there. If it's an ordinary rope, you leave this permanent. El Pshita de Gardi, we're talking about like a weaver's rope. There's no way that he's going to leave it there for too long. He's going to leave it for short term, and therefore it's not a Kesher Kayom. Rabbanon will worry that we allow you to use this rope. You'll use a proper rope, then you leave it permanently. Before the Rabbanon said you can make a bow, we're not worried you're going to make a knot. And here, we're not allowed to use this rope, the weaver's rope, because next time you use a proper rope. It's a contradiction to Rabbanon. Do we make Zeris or don't we make Zeris? But the gozu rabbanon worried chevel the gardi the rope of a weaver or to chevel dama because a regular rope. So Gemara says yes, not a problem. In chevel bechevel michlef, two ropes, even though one is a weaver's and one is a regular rope, they're very similar, and therefore it's quite possible, it's likely that people will make a mistake. They don't understand, if you're allowed to use this rope, why can't you use that rope? Oh, but aniva bikshirle michlef, if we allow them to make a bow, nobody's going to make the mistake and say, oh, I can make a bow, I can make a knot. They understand there's a permanent and there's a temporary. Says the Gemara, let's go back to that theme. You said, b'chol heicha de bodul mene. What was the Abaye's answer by chametz? Why, by chadosh? Why is it that we're not concerned and we allow you to harvest the chadosh before, even if it's beis hashalchin, if it's irrigated fields? You're allowed to actually harvest the fields, but we're not worried because you're separated from it. You're not going to eat from it till the second day of Pesach. So you're telling me, b'chol heicha de bodul mene, if you're separated from it, le'gozer, we're not worried. Rabbi Yehuda's not worried. But Tanya, we learned, a b'chol. A firstborn you have to bring to the gift or kohen, and the kohen brings it to the mizbeach, but it has a mum, it has a defect, certain defects, then the kohen himself can eat it. But you're not allowed to make a mum on the b'chor in order for you to eat it and not to give it to the mizbeach. That's an avera. So what about a b'chor she'ochzu dam? A b'chor, for example, that had a seizure of blood, and which means the only way to allow it is to let that blood, to extract some of that blood, you have to make a wound in him. In order to take out some blood. Now, there are certain parts you make a take out the blood, not a problem. Certain parts it might be considered making a mum. So it says here, afilu hu meis, even if the animal is going to die as a result of it, ein makizin loy dam. We will not allow you to go ahead and extract and let any of the blood. And I don't care which part of the body it is, because we're scared that next time you're going to make a mum. You make a boom. Divir Rabbi Yehuda. Chacham say, so Rabbi Yehuda is worried. We're going to, if you allow you to take blood out here, you'll take our blood there. Alochayde, our question is going to be, Abchayr, everybody's separated from Abchayr, so why are we worried? Rabbi Yehuda is not worried about these things. And the Chachamim say, Yakis, you can go ahead and let the blood of Bavad provide it. Shalayitl, Yatl, by Mum. Be careful, don't inflict a Mum there. So l'chayre, how come the Rabbi Yehuda if goyze by a b'chayre? Says the Gemara, here there's different circumstances, and that is because hasam b'shtayshadon bol al money, because you are so nervous about your money, so excitable about your money. Amrinan, we say, the Yehuda says that if we give you certain allowances, you're not going to think straight, and you're just going to do whatever you have to do, and you're going to do the wrong thing. Therefore, there's an additional reason why here will be goyze, even though normally you're. We won't be guys if you're separated from it. Because he's so nervous about his money, we say if we can allow him to let the blood where he does not in any way cause a mum to happen, he will also next time cause a mum because he's not thinking straight. Nu drabbonon. The Rabbanim, why are they so permissive and they allow you to extract blood? They use the same logic but exactly the converse. They say because he's so nervous, if we're not going to let him do anything, he won't listen to us do whatever he wants to do. If we give him a certain allowances, he will follow our prescriptive method and he won't do the wrong thing. But Rabbanon, Koshke, the Eloi Shad is Leklal, if you're not going to let him save his animal, Osi Lemevid. He'll go ahead and do it anyway, and then he'll maybe do an Isin the Torah. Says the Gemara, so what are you telling me, Rabbi Yehuda? Say a new thing now, that he gets excited about his money. Well, me, Amrin, Rabbi Yehuda, other about money, we say a person gets excited about his money, but not, Rabbi Yehuda says that, but now we learn Rabbi Yehuda says, on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to cause a wound to an animal, make the blood come to the fore and turn colors. So you shouldn't use these brushes to take out all the dirt and mud and pebbles stuck between the wool that has a lot of fine teeth. You're not allowed to use this particular thing with all these fine teeth on Yom Tov. Why not? Because there's a likelihood that you're going to cause a wound on the animal. And we don't want you to do that. Avol mekatrim, you could use one with wide teeth. Because with wide teeth is not a problem because it's not going to make a chabur, it's not going to make a wound in this animal. And making a wound in animals is an av malacha, and you know, I'll do that on Yom Tov. Now, here he's all excited about he's all nervous about his animal because all filthy and dirty and everything else. And yet the Behuda gives you an allowance. And we don't say, oh, if you're allowing with wide teeth, next time we'll use narrow teeth or teeth with very few gaps. But now we don't make an example. So what are you telling me before? If a person gets all nervous, you can't trust him. And the Chumash say, "Ein mekaden af ein mekatzvin." The Chumash say, "You don't do either." Now, Betani, we learned Ezo kidev ezo kidev. What's the difference? Kidev ketanim, kidev all these small little fine teeth. Ve'oisin chabur will cause a blemish, and katzuf is gedolim, teeth, the larger teeth, and therefore there's a lot of gaps in between. And it does not in any way make a chabur. It has thick teeth, it doesn't make a chabur. The Ishaviklei, so the Gemara says, what are you comparing? Awesome over there, the Ishaviklei, in the case of the blood, the achzud, a seizure of blood, if we don't do anything, my animal's going to die right before his eyes, he feels terrible. Amrina, Rabbi Yehuda is very worried. Adam Bolomon is very nervous. Therefore, he might do the wrong thing. You know what? Don't let him do anything at all. Hachol, the hair. The animal's dirty. Okay, what happens if you don't do anything? The animal's not going to die. It's out of bowel movement. Maybe it's a bit painful for the animal. That does not cause him such nervousness. We will not say, Adam bol alma money. A person is not so excited about his money. He's not going to. If we give him methods that he can clean his animal, he'll follow prescriptive method. So Maishna Gabi Chometz, by Chometz, he was very worried he might come to eat it. Maishna Gabi Karts of the Legazer, why isn't he Gazer by the case of the comb? So Gemara answers, lechem belechem mifluf. Remember, matzah in those days was very similar to bread. So we allow him to, if we ask him to search for the chametz, there's a good chance he might forget and eat the chametz because it looks like matzah. So we're worried. Kidur bekartzel nichluf. If we allow you to use a comb with thick teeth, we're not worried you can use a comb with thin teeth because it's very, very different from each other. He's not going to make that mistake. Okay, now we continue. We learned before that the Isur chametz kicks in at 12 o'clock. Meir says, but people make a mistake, they don't have any watches or clocks, so therefore people can make a mistake for a short time. Meir says, what kind of mistake we allow? We tolerate a mistake of 1 hour, so oichli kol chamesh, between 10 and 11, you can still continue eating, but an hour before 11 o'clock, that's the time of beer chametz, and you're no longer allowed to eat chametz. Rabbi Yehuda says, oichli kol arba, people make a mistake up to 2 hours. So when it comes to eating chametz, which is such a serious avera, 10 o'clock we're going to stop you from eating chametz. Oichlin kol arba, but v'toyin kol chamesh between 10 and 11. because it's still 2 hours before. We're not going to aser it, so we give you an opportunity to go ahead and to give it to the animal or to give it to a goy and so on, which we'll see later, machlek if allowed to. And the surfing b'tchila sheish. At 11 o'clock, you burn it. When it comes to burning and isar no, we'll allow an hour mistake. When it comes to eating, we're more machmer, a 2 hour mistake. Another thing Abuda said. In fact, he says, shtei chalos shel toida psulas. There were two chalos from a carbon toida, Thanksgiving offering. So they had, it was a pasula of a carbon toida. So we have two chalos that were pasula. The chalos themselves were disqualified from eating. We'll see later in the Gemara why. Munochas agabi itzvah was placed on top of itzvah, a platform, which is like a benches. Kozman shemunochas, as long as the two chalos, anybody can see from far away, as long as the two chalos are there, kolamayuchlin, everyone knew that you're allowed to eat chametz. Nitlaachas, if one was taken, they knew that you're no longer allowed to eat, but you can still give it to your animal, feed your animal. Toiling, they just let it in suspense. Loy oichlin, voloy soifer, didn't eat but didn't burn. Notlu, nitlu shtein, once both chalos were removed, is chilu kola omsurf, and that's when everybody started burning the chametz. Says the Gemara, but I'm a little, he's in compromise. Chuli, when it comes to chuli, in the chol and kol arba. When it comes to chuli, you stop at 10. Or but truma, when it comes to truma, we stop at 11 because we don't want to destroy chul truma if we don't have to. He's a rule, you know, you must have cut him with your hands. The sorry for mechilas sheish, he burned everything at 11 o'clock. Says the Gemara, now we're going to talk about the mistake that we allow a person to make. So the rule is, you have two witnesses, we give them seven, we interrogate them, it's called, we give chakiris and bedikas. Chakiris are seven questions regarding ascertaining the exact time and place. So six questions about time and one about the place, where exactly it occurred. And then you have the bedikas, general questions, what color was the clothes, what kind of, which hand did he use to give the final blow, or whatever. Now chakiris are vital, because the Torah says, in every group of Edim have to be able to be found liars. We have a concept called Edim Zaymin. If two witnesses say that Reuben killed Shimon, and two witnesses say Reuben did not kill Shimon, that's called Edus HaKhosha. They contradict each other. We don't know who to believe. So neither of them are believed. And then the Machlekes Rabbi Reb Chisda will have in Bava Basra, what, you know, what happens to the status of these four people. But if you have Edim Zaymin, I mean, two people say Reuben killed Shimon in Melbourne on a Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock. And two other witnesses say, whether it happened or not, we don't know. But you two witnesses cannot testify of what you said because you were with us in Shanghai the same day. That's called Ein Zeimen. We believe the second group and the first group are considered liars. And not only that, we will punish them. The very punishment you wanted to give to that person, we will give to you. Kashazam al-Asalach, whatever you intend to do, that person will do to you. So it became a rule that in order for witnesses to be qualified with witnesses, it has to be Edus She'ata Yochel Azim, a witness that can be discredited. Either because it's a cause of a logic. The logic is what keeps witnesses in check that they shouldn't lie, because they know that if they get caught out, they can be punished with this very same punishment. So, now two witnesses come and they more or less say the same story, but the times are not exactly accurate. So we use a certain tolerance, a certain margin of error. And the machlekes is a mayor of Yehuda, how to understand the margin of error. And the machlekes is a bayin rabba, how to understand the machlekes is a mayor of Yehuda. Okay? So the Gemara. Tanah has one of the Mishnah. Echad oime. One of them says, b'shnayim. One of them says, b'shnayim happened the second day of the month. B'echad oime b'shloish, the third day of the month. Eidus and Kayemes, we're not going to disqualify the testimony because it could be one person knew precisely when the Shchaydish is, the other one didn't. This person knows that the month was an extra day, and therefore the Shchaydish, that's why he said a second, because he knew there was a 2 day of Shchaydish. And Vizayin Yudei be Ibur Shchaydish, the guy didn't know that the previous month was 30 day month, and therefore he thought the Shchaydish was the 30th day, and therefore he called it the third day of the new month. Okay, and as Taisus explains, and why do we accept that? The Gemara Sanhedrin says that from here we know that most people don't actually know exactly what day of Shchaydish is. And Taisus says it's because afterwards we asked them what day of the week it is, and they both said Tuesday, for example, then clearly it reveals to us that they're not contradicting each other. One guy knew about the Shchaydish, one guy didn't. And and that's why. So why don't we just ask them which day the Shchaydish was? Because by the very facts of Taisus and the Rishonim, he said it was Tuesday, tells us already, gives an answer, that they knew exactly what day it is, and their mistake wasn't the Shchaydish, because most people make that mistake. If there's a 2 day difference, for example, one guy says the third day of the month, one guy says the fifth, and they both say Tuesday, then we say, since most people know it's impossible the Shchaydish, be so long, then obviously they contradicted each other when they said the day of the month, and now they're trying to fix it up. And we have a rule, Kiva Shehigid, Shuvei Lechayzer Magid. Once you give testimony, you cannot retract. Second, but further, echad and mishleisha. What happened? One guy says it was the third, echad and the fifth, eight dusim betela. That we do not tolerate. What about echad and mishleisha? It happened at 7 o'clock in the morning. Echad and mishleisha. One guy said it happened 8 o'clock, eight dusim kayemis. Their testimony is acceptable. 1 hour difference is acceptable. Echad and mishleisha. One guy said it happened at 8 o'clock. Echad and mishleisha. One guy said it happened 10 o'clock, eight dusim betela. That margin of error is too great. They're not inconsistent. Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda says no. Even 2 hours they do some kayemis, but echadim b'chamish, echadim b'shema. One guy says 11, and one guy says what do you call it? One guy says 10, and one guy says 12. So or 11 and 1, because in this case over here, this is Rav Yehuda saying, even though it's a 2 hour difference, l'chayde, so I should allow that. He said, nevertheless, it's no good. So why not? One guy says 10, one guy says 12. Why not? Because the sun in the sky is in very different points. People don't make such a mistake. Because in 5 hours, then the sun is on the east side, and in 7 hours, the sun is starting to tilt towards the west. Now, so let's understand. That's it seems from the Braise here, Rav Meir tolerates 1 hour error of margin, and Rav Yehuda tolerates 2 hours unless it's impossible because of the location of the sun. Omar Abaye says, I have two ways. There's two versions of how Abaye understood the machlekes of Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir. Omar Abaye, if you want to say the divrei Rav Meir according to Rav Meir ain't adam toyer like klum, there's no margin of error at all. No, if there is no margin of error at all. So one guy said it happened at 7, one guy said it happened at 8. No. We'll explain in a minute. Rabbi Yehuda, Adam Toya Chatzisha. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, the margin of error is merely a half an hour. And why? Because we interpret the words of the witnesses. The divrei Rav Meir, ain't Adam Toya Velaklum, a person makes there's no tolerance. Maisa Kahava, because you know when it actually happened? The Mepek Tarti Mayo Klas. That moment that is the overlap between the end of 7:59:30 seconds, or 59:59, which is 8 o'clock. Which is the same time as 8 o'clock. And therefore, there's no margin of error. That's why this guy called it 7 and this guy called it 8, but they're referring to the same time. He meant the end of the second hour. The beginning of the third hour. So there's no margin of error. There we go. The margin of error is Chatzisha. Why? Because we assume. The Gemara is going to ask in a minute. Why do you make such an assumption, and therefore we're going to hold it, we're going to say that the Edim are consistent and we're going to kill a person? Why don't you just ask the Edim? When you said 7 o'clock, what time do you mean? 7:01, 7:30, 7:49, and then work it out and see whether the Gemara will ask that question. Because we'll call it a court of Yudah, Adam Toye Chatzisha, a person, the margin of error is a half an hour. Maise Kehave, when did it happen? Bepal Goda Arba, when did it happen? It happened exactly between, one guy said third hour, one guy said fifth. It happened in the middle of the fourth hour. The Haidigam Mashallah, when he said the third hour, he meant Sarshallah. Ukatoy Pagoda Shaita, his margin of error was half an hour. Lekameh, forward. It happened half an hour after he said. The Haidigam Mashallah, the guy who said the fifth hour, Bitchilas Chamash, he meant the beginning of the fifth hour, Ukatoy Pagoda Shaita, Lachayda, and he was a half an hour off. It happened half an hour behind the time he said. That's one version. Ikidam, another version of Baya says, I'm going to buy you. There is a margin of error, even according to Rav Meir, but small. A person makes a slight margin of error. An hour and a bit. And this is how it works. When did it happen? Did not happen in that point where they both overlap. It happened sometime late in the second hour or early in the third hour. And one of them is making a mistake of a few minutes. That's the margin of error. The person makes a mistake an hour and a bit. Not a half an hour, but an hour and a bit. When did it actually happen? One of them is accurate. The one that said third hour or fifth hour was right. The other one made a mistake. A mistake of what? Let's assume the end of the third hour. It really happened beginning of the fifth hour. So it made a mistake of an hour and a bit. An hour and a bit. Also, Rabbi Nevi'el Yilav Amr Shmaita Kamei Rabbi went and said over this whole thing for Rabbi. Omar, he said, Rabbi said, I don't understand. So we're going to assume the worst. We have a general rule. We try to protect the alleged victim or the alleged culprit because we need to have conclusive proof. So L'chayda, here, we're not even going to ask the witnesses, when you said the second hour, did you mean the end of the second hour, so therefore you're not contradicting the other witness, or do you mean the beginning? If we were to ask that question, we could then find out what's going on there. So why are we making automatically an assumption that he meant the end of the second hour? We're going to kill this this alleged culprit. Had we asked the question witnesses, when we asked the third guy what he meant, did you mean the beginning? And the guy he said, maybe it turned out to be chamish. Maybe when the guy said the third hour, he meant the beginning of the third hour, and the guy said the third hour meant the end. So they're contradicting each other. We would not have killed this alleged defendant. And what are we doing instead? We're going to kill this defendant. That you should judge, but it says also you should try to save him. You should try to protect him. Says Rav, I'll tell you what the pshat is. Rav says, I'll tell you what the tolerance of error is. Up to 2 hours. And we're leading all this to see tomorrow how it is reconciled with our Mishnah, where a mayor allows a mistake of 1 hour and a mistake of 2 hours. So Rabbi comes along and says, according to that mayor, a person makes a mistake 2 hours minus a bit. So we're going to assume the worst. And leave it up Yehuda and tell you, shalosh shalosh chamashah, up to 3 hours minus a bit. And this is what happens. This is why we don't have to ask the witnesses. Leave it a mayor, Adam Toy Shev Chosomashu, Maisa Kavah. One guy said the third hour, one guy said the fourth hour. We're gonna assume the worst. The guy said the third hour, he meant the beginning of the third hour, and the guy said the fourth hour, he meant the very end. So the difference between the two is 2 hours minus a bit, and that's within the margin of error. Oybit Chilish time, when he said the seventh hour, he said the 7 o'clock, between 7 and 8, he meant the beginning, 7:01. Oybit Sav Sholos, the guy who said 8, he meant 8:59. The Chad Benai, and one of them could tell you Beishar's Chosimah. I'd rather learn not that each one's making a mistake, that both are making a mistake. One of them knows what they're talking about, the other one makes a mistake up to 2 hours. The Divir Rabbi Yehuda, when he said, the third and fifth hour, maybe the beginning of the third and the end of the fifth, that's 3 hours minus a bit. We're not going to assume that both have made a mistake, only one. But that's the tolerance of error. Rabbi Yehuda, Adam Toye Sholoshoy's Chosimah, a person makes a mistake 3 hours minus a bit. What do you call it? Maisa kahava oibet chila shoish oibet seif chamish. When that actually happened, either eight and a bit, or at 10, and the very end. The chad benai katol shol chod mashu. One of them making a mistake. We don't want both of them making a mistake, because then you can allow a tolerance of error of 6 hours. Because it happens sometime between. We don't do that. So that's how Rav explains the argument, and we're going to ask questions on it tomorrow. So we will stop over here.